try to move through this quickly so that we get to that deacon special. Before I even open my mouth, let's pray and just ask God's blessing on what's going on here this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you, Lord, for who you are. And thank you, Lord, that in front of me I have your mind, the mind of Jesus Christ, written down in the pages of this book. Thank you for your word. Lord, without your word, Lord, written down here for me in front of me, Lord, I wouldn't know who you are. Lord, I wouldn't know about the salvation that I have in Jesus Christ by faith and by your grace and mercy. Lord, I wouldn't know who you are. I wouldn't know what you'd expect from me, Father. I wouldn't have fellowship with my Savior and Creator were it not for your word. I don't know you more than I know your word, Father. So I want to thank you for your word, and I want to thank you this morning, Lord, for this church. This church that has faithfully, for 39 years, taught and preached your word from this pulpit. Lord, I am indebted to every single faithful man and woman in this place, starting from Jesus Christ himself. So, Lord, I just pray that you would help me just to discharge some of that debt this morning. Lord, I pray that you would fill me with your spirit. I thank you, Lord, your word is sown into my heart, and there it's grown.
Amen.
Father, thank you, Lord, and I just pray that I could hide behind your cross and hide behind your word even now this morning. Lord, I pray that the soil of our hearts, my hearts, would be able to receive your word this morning, and let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us, and every good gift and every perfect gift coming down from above, from the Father of lights. So I want to thank you this morning again. Help me now, I pray, and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I was hoping when I said amen, all of you would disappear. There'd be nobody here. I got saved in this church on March 7th, 1999, and Clarissa and her husband Danny is here, just a faithful Sunday school teacher, led me to Jesus Christ in her teaching, and her and Janice at the time as a nine-year-old. I remember the story of Peter, who walked on the water. He said, Lord, if you are the Lord, bid that thou comes to me. And I just remember that, and Peter sinking down and just crying out, Lord, help, save me. And Lord Jesus Christ just putting down his hand to lift up Peter. And I just remember that I needed that.
Amen.
I needed
Amen.
That. And I had a faithful Sunday school teacher to go to. And I'm indebted. I'm indebted to every single one of you here this morning, just everyone who's been a faithful example and sample from my mom and dad all the way on down from my pastors. I have a debt this morning. I'm a debtor both to the Jew and to the Greek, to the wise and the unwise. I know that I'm a debtor to turn out well in Jesus Christ, not to just walk away from this book and walk away from this place. I owe it to you, and I owe it to my Savior to turn out well in Jesus Christ. And that's my heart's desire for my life, just to turn out well with my soul in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to do my best this morning to hide behind the scriptures, just none of me, but if any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God. And I also am watching the time. Mark me down, it's 11:20, so in 20 minutes, just somebody get me up and get out of here. Get me out of here, all right? Thank you, brother. Thank you. All right, so let's open our Bibles this morning to Proverbs chapter 3. I'm going to take that right now, actually. Proverbs chapter 3, if you could with me this morning. The Proverbs of Solomon the King, chapter 3. All right, Proverbs chapter 3, and let's start in verse number 33. Seems like a good place to start. You have three threes in there. All right, Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 33. The Bible says that the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. And all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. And you just never know when you'll come across one of those verses that are just instructing in righteousness. And these words here in verse number 35 just jump off the page to me, that the wise shall inherit glory. Those words, inheriting glory or shame being our promotion. Those words just jump off the page at me, and they all point to our appearing with the Lord Jesus Christ, our judgment seat of Christ that we're going to face one day. He's coming back soon, and I'm going to face that one day. And this verse says that the wise are going to inherit glory, but shame is going to all, we're all going to get promoted. We're all getting promoted from here to up there if we're saved in Jesus Christ. But I want my promotion to be glorious rather than shameful. Amen. That's my heart's desire. And this verse here says, the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. So let's just turn and look at some more of those, more verses about those words here this morning. Let's go over to Colossians chapter 3. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. All those words, inheriting glory versus shame, those words all have to do with the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ coming very soon, whether by death or by rapture, coming very soon. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 4, says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. When Christ, who is not a part of our life but is our life, shall appear, which is coming shortly, very soon. If you're familiar with your Bible, if you've been here on Wednesday nights at all, coming very shortly is the time when when Jesus Christ is going to appear. But this says, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And God's desire is that the wise should inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Romans chapter 8 says that them who we are predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, and them who he predestinated, he also called. Those who he called, he justified. That's our salvation. Our predestination is to be conformed to the image, to look just like, think, act, look just like the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we have a bit of that down here, but God's desire in the future, our destination at the end of this journey of life, is to be predestinated to the image of Jesus Christ. Them who he predestinated, he called. Them who he called, he justified. Them who he justified, he glorified. So that's God's heart's desire. He's not unrighteous to forget his our work and labor of love that ye have showed to his name. That's his desire for us to be glorified. This verse here says, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So you see that word from Proverbs chapter 3, that we are going to appear with him in glory, but only for the wise. The wise inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Verse number 24 here in Colossians 3. Verse 24 says, knowing that of the Lord, verse 23, let's start from there. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. The wise shall inherit glory. And ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. So part of our reward, part of our inheritance, I should say, is a reward for our work, for our service that we show for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Let's see another one here. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, to see how many verses I could fit in a short amount of time. 1 Peter chapter 1. Starting in verse number 3, says, blessed, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, and reserved in heaven for you. Right? We're supposed to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, not treasures upon earth, because those things moth and rust doth corrupt. But he's laid up for us an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, Amen. Reserved Amen. In heaven for you.
Amen.
Who are kept, verse number 5, by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice in that salvation that's going to be revealed. Greatly rejoice in that. That's what we do when we sing and I get crazy up here and all those things. I'm just greatly rejoicing in the salvation. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of our faith, and Job said that in chapter 7, that he tries man at every moment. This whole thing is one big test. It's one big trial. What am I going to do with what God has given me? That salvation that I rejoice in, that's a test. It's a trial. What am I going to do with that for the glory of God? Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. There's praise and honor and glory for the wise. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. One more verse here, 1 John chapter 2, concerning inheriting glory versus our shameful promotion. God is a giver. Jesus Christ is a giver. That's his glory that he had with the Father before the foundation of the world. He wants to share that with his children. That's his desire for us. That's just something from his generous hand. And I ought to desire that with my Savior. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. And now, little children, abide. Let you get there. 1 John 2, 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence. That's a wonderful thing, by the way.
Amen.
If ye abide in me, and my word abides in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. He's just asking for us to rest and abide and stick with the stuff. Stick with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not win the entire world to Christ. Not win 2 billion souls. Not memorize the scriptures back and forth, up and down. That's important. But he's just asking that I would abide in him, that when he shall appear, coming very soon, that I won't have anything to be ashamed about, just for sticking with Jesus Christ. That's just being faithful. That's all it is. Moreover, it is required in a man, in stewards, that he be found faithful. Stick with it, abide in him, and that's all he's asking. I could even do that. Imagine that. And he would allow that I be confident when he comes back. It's an amazing thing. We may have confidence. Now, the other side of that is not being ashamed, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Not be ashamed. So there's either inheriting glory or there's promotion, a shameful promotion, inheriting shame. Even that word promotion only shows up twice in your Bible. It shows up in Proverbs 3:35, the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. And in Psalm 75, you could just stay where you're at. Psalm 75, verse 6 says, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. And the verse ends with the period right there, and that leaves the north, right? Promotion comes from due north. Verse number 7, but God is the judge. God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. So God is the judge from which our promotion comes. And verse number 8 sets in that chapter the context of where that judgment is coming from. It says, for in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red, it is full of mixture, and he poureth out of the same. But the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them. Now that cup of the Lord that goes against the wicked shows up a couple times. If you're familiar with your Bible, it shows up in the garden where the Lord Jesus Christ took that cup for us. Praise his holy name.
Amen.
That he took that cup, that all the wicked of the earth, the most righteous, pure, holy, separate from sinners, higher than the heaven, Son of God, took for us that cup. But if you don't receive the Lord who took that cup, then you drink of that cup. Okay? You drink of that cup. And that shows up later on in the book of Revelation. So this judgment, but God is the judge, where promotion doesn't come from the west, east, or south, but from the north, that's set in the future. Okay, so God being the judge, promoting one, that word promotion means the condition of being exalted or honored, right? That's coming for us at the judgment seat of Christ for the wise. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. The determinant, though, between, as we can see from the verses, between inheriting glory, which that's God's desire, it ought to be your heart's desire, or eternal, everlasting, not condemnation, not damnation, not hell, Jesus Christ took that for us, but shame forever and ever and ever. The difference between the two is the wise. The wise inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Wisdom versus foolishness. And one of the definitions here of wisdom is making due use of knowledge. Making due use of knowledge. See, it doesn't say that the knowledgeable inherit glory. I couldn't get away from that verse. This church, not that's a wrong word, I was going to say prides itself, but our church rejoices in the knowledge of the scriptures, right? It's been said around here that people say, if you want to learn the Bible, if you want to have knowledge of the word, you go to First Bible Church. That's wonderful, and that's needed and necessary. I don't know God in heaven any more than I know this book. This book is everything. It's the most important thing that there is. Amen. Down here on this earth, I mean, Jesus Christ is in heaven. He's the most important. But down here on this earth, for me, Amen. The most important things in this earthly realm is this book Amen. And this church that faithfully teaches this word. So the knowledge of the scriptures, ye do err, Jesus said, not knowing the scriptures, neither the power of God. If you're saved and you don't know the scriptures, I am in great error for that. If I don't know the scriptures and I'm saved. But it's about putting that knowledge to work. Amen. Making due use, putting that knowledge to work. Amen. That Amen. Inherits glory. Amen. That inherits glory. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 is another verse, very, very similar to Proverbs 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. See, because God's desire is for me to inherit glory, and I want to be in line with Him. I want to be what He wants me to be. He wants me to be glorified together with Him. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. It's not the knowledgeable, it's not the doctors of the law, it's not the know-it-alls. It's making due use of that knowledge, that precious knowledge of the Word of God that is given in this place. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse number 1, says, "Who is as the wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine." Well, if that's true, I mean, and God says what he means what he says, that no one's shining in here, that's the future. That's the future. That happens at the judgment seat of Christ, where we might be found unto praise and honor and glory, visible, shining glory, okay? "A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed." All right, there's an example of a man who his face down here on the earth shone, his face shone brighter than the sun. His name's the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's in Matthew chapter 17. If you'd like to turn there with me, Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. There's nothing more holy than hearing those pages turning. It's crazy from up here. The book is precious. Matthew chapter 17, starting in verse number 1. Now remember, this is about a man's wisdom maketh his face to shine. Okay? Matthew chapter 17, verse number 1 says, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun. and his raiment was white as the light. His face did shine like light as the sun. And that's a preview of the future. When John sees the Lord Jesus Christ again, in Revelation chapter 1, verse number 16, John describes Jesus Christ. His face was shining as the sun. His countenance was as the sun that shineth in his strength. Okay? Now, Ecclesiastes said that a man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, because the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. In 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter describes this scene. 2 Peter chapter 1. I just ask you your forgiveness for so many verses. It really shouldn't be something to be apologetic about, but I'm slow of speech, so I'm just going to hide behind the scriptures this morning. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse number 17, 2 Peter 1, 17. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. So that description in Matthew 17 where Jesus' face was shining, they were afraid of him, they fell down at his feet. Peter was just talking, he didn't even know what to say. So that description of Jesus Christ where his face was shining at the sun, and a man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. This description, now Peter's talking about it, says that he received from God the Father honor and glory. The glory is the visible shining part that God now wants to impart to you. When he appear, it does not yet appear, 1 John says, what we shall be. But when we see him, we shall be like him. We're going to be like him. Don't you want that? I want that. I don't want to have a shameful promotion where my light is dim because I didn't let my light so shine upon shine before men down here on the earth. I want to be glorified like he is glorified. We are Christians, little Christ. Jesus Christ is the Son of righteousness. He shone like the sun, and we shine in the future like little suns, like stars. I just got ahead of myself, but stars we're going to shine like in the future. The sun is the greatest star that shines in our galaxy. Jesus said, Jesus shone like the sun. So we in the future are going to shine like stars, it says. In 1 Corinthians 15 and Daniel chapter 4, we're going to shine like stars, like little versions of the sun, the Lord Jesus Christ, because he just wants his image everywhere. He wants to fellowship with people just like himself, glorified, pure, holy, harmless. We're going to be like that someday. I'm so sick and tired of myself. I'm so sick and tired of myself. And this flesh is the only thing that separates me, as it said, from the Lord Jesus Christ and being just like him. I want to be like him. I want to be like him. And this is just a small part of it. He received honor and glory from the Father. Honor and glory when there came, in verse number 17, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory from heaven. And the voice cried out, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And there's the honor. There's the honor. What a thing it would be that God the Father would look down at me and say, that's one of my beloved sons. He's the Son of God because he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, believed on his name. This is one of my beloved sons in whom I am well pleased. Or how about, well done, thou good and faithful servant, to receive honor and visible glory by the Father because of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a miracle. What a future that I have. This book just points me not down here where it's a mess, not down here where I'm a failure, not down here where work and school and all nonsense drags me down. This book points me to the future. I got to have the long look to the future, and live my life down here accordingly. Not live my life by what's going on around me. Live my life according to the future. Hebrews chapter 2. Turn there with me. One book back. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 9. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 9 says, "But we see Jesus." Sirs, we would see Jesus, they said. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels. He was made a man for the sufferings of death, crowned with glory and honor. Now, there are ways where mankind has certain glories, have certain desirable attributes or characteristics. The Bible says in Proverbs that the glory of the young man is his strength, the strength of his arm. It's a desirable quality for a young man to be strong. 1 Corinthians 11 says the glory of a woman is her hair. That's a desirable characteristic or attribute. But crowned is the future. Crowned with glory and honor. And there was a taste of that in Matthew 17. He was crowned with glory, visible shining glory on that mount, and with honor. This is my well-beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Then, by the grace of death, he should taste death for every man. What a thing to lay aside, because he had that in heaven, and he did that for us. He describes, but he wants that for us as well, glory and honor. Verse number 7, back up a couple verses. Verse number 6, back up a couple verses. But in a certain place testified, saying, what is man? So this is God's desire for mankind, that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man, that thou visitest him. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest, don't we get 5 crowns in the future? A crown of life. We are the crown of rejoicing, the crown of righteousness. There's 5 of them. So crowned with glory and honor, that's part of our eternal reward in the future. That was God's desire for man the whole time, to be crowned with glory and honor. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. So God's desire is for us to be crowned with glory and honor, just like the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Son, and we are going to shine just like him someday in the future, but only for the wise. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. One more verse concerning this, Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12 with me. Daniel chapter 12, verse number 2. Daniel chapter 12, verse number 2 says, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Shame shall be the promotion of fools. Shame is going to be the promotion of fools. And I don't want to wake up to that. And it's everlasting shame, everlasting contempt. Not damnation and not hell, but to know that God gave me the knowledge, especially me. I'm just speaking for me this morning. Paul said to Timothy that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. I fit right there. I was saved as a child, brought up in this place. This is precious. The world does not have this, and I've had it for a long time, longer than most people. So for me to have all this and to be a fool about it and to do nothing with it, not take it out there, not preach the gospel, I know my name's in the book of life. I know how to get somebody there. I know how I got there, and yet I don't do anything with that. That would be everlasting shame, everlasting contempt on my part. God help me that this reproves me and corrects me and instructs me just to make due use, like the definition of wisdom, make due use of that knowledge. Do something with it. I am his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that I should walk in them. That ought to be me. Everlasting contempt, verse number 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness. I could call that the furtherance of the gospel. Turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. I'm going to skip over a couple of things, but the stars, you find that in 1 Corinthians 15, that one star differeth from another star in glory. Recently, we were at a youth camp up in upstate New York, and a couple of the brothers and I, we which you can't do in New York. You go outside and you take a look at the stars, and wow, this is this one. Justin knows all that stuff. I just sit there and listen. He's good like that. But this is that star, this is that star, and on and on and on. And some stars shine differently, just like the sun, the greatest star that there is. So we're all going to be gathered together as a church, right? And Jesus Christ is going to be shining, glorious, high, lifted up, holy, on the throne. Holy, 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 and all those sorts of things forever and ever, right? That's Jesus Christ. And then certain of those in his body, in his church, who labored, who were wise with what God had given them, especially in this place. Look at that one. He's shining. He must have served the Lord. Look at that one. He's glorious. He's shining. God must have been pleased with him. And look at me. Look at that one. What was his problem? Why didn't he get it? Shame. Shame. Forever. Forever. There are eternal consequences for how I live this life. That shame goes on forever. Abide in him. Abide in him that I won't be ashamed before I'm at his coming. So one star differed from another in glory, and this says that they that turn many to righteousness are going to shine as the stars forever and ever. How have I helped turn someone to righteousness? What am I doing about the furtherance of the gospel? Turning somebody from their own righteousness, turning someone from Romans chapter 10, someone who's going to establish their own righteousness and turn them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because their own righteousness is not getting them anywhere. It's the righteousness of God that he gives through the Lord Jesus Christ because he was made sin for us. That's salvation, very simply, by the way, if you're not saved here this morning. But what have I done to turn somebody from their own righteousness to Jesus Christ? The furtherance of the gospel, the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This past Thursday, I'm thinking about this message and whatnot. Okay, they that turn many to righteousness, they're going to shine as the stars forever and ever. And I'm sitting on the ferry. I go to school in Manhattan. I take the ferry boat over. And my usual routine is, you know, grab a quick breakfast, wolf it down as fast as I can so I can read. I'm too lazy to get up early. That's a problem. But open my Bible with my cup of coffee and turn to my first chapter. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the Bible says, a street preacher on the boat, walking up and down. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't mean to disturb you, but I'm just here to proclaim the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he continues. He's doing something to turn somebody to righteousness. And I sat there and I couldn't read. I couldn't read. I had to listen. I had to pray for this guy. I had to do something. And afterwards, I shook his hand and I said, thank you. And that was a blessing. And I encouraged him. But afterwards, the entire day, the Spirit of God said, what are you doing to turn somebody to righteousness? You know what he knows. You know John 3:16. You know the gospel. What are you doing? So on the way home, I had to just stand in front of the ferry terminal. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, and so on and so forth. What am I doing to turn somebody to righteousness, to further the gospel? That pricked my soul. That pricked my heart. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. How am I making due use of the knowledge in this church that God has given me? Oh, boy. All right, let's Matthew chapter 7. That's enough of me. Matthew chapter 7, the final verse. I wanted to go to Exodus chapter 36, 35 and 36. Exodus chapter 35 and 36, don't turn there, is about Bezalel and Aholiab. Bezalel and Aholiab. In Exodus chapter 36, 35 and 36, God has already redeemed his people out of the hand of Pharaoh, out of the hand of Egypt, and brought them across the Red Sea. And now God is going to dwell in the midst of his people, the children of Israel. And he does so in an earthly house, the tabernacle. And God gives instructions to Moses concerning the building of that tabernacle, of that house. And he has two men, and others in particular, these two men, Bezalel and Oholiab, help with that work of building this tabernacle. And some of the characteristics about them were applicable to the message.
They were wise-hearted, it said. They were wise-hearted. They had wisdom of heart, not only to know all that the Lord commanded, the verse says, and read it on your own time, Exodus 36. They needed wisdom of heart to know what the Lord commanded. I need wisdom of heart given by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of wisdom is all over that chapter, to know all that the Lord had commanded so that they could build this thing, this tabernacle, properly. And I need wisdom of heart, not man's wisdom, not my own wisdom. But if you're interested in knowing God, you're interested in knowing His Word, I need wisdom of heart to open this book and know all that the Lord commanded so that I could go forth and not just be a doctor of the law, just sit here and have my head puffed up with knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. So wisdom of heart to take what's here, the gospel, the doctrine, five worlds, dispensations, all those sorts of things. Take those things, get it down in here, and go and work for the Lord Jesus Christ. Go and do something instead of just sitting here amongst my brothers and sisters. We're supposed to do that. We're supposed to come and dine. And then we're supposed to feed the bread of life. We're supposed to feed the beggars out there with the bread of life by coming and dining here. We do that. It would be selfish. It would be shameful of me just to sit here in the wonders of this church, sit here with the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior and not take that and go do something. Go to the work. Amen. One more thing about Bezalel and Aholiab. The word workman shows up there for the first time. Exodus 35:35. And we are supposed to study to show ourselves approved unto God so we could sit here and be doctors of the law. No, this is me, this isn't you. I am supposed to be a workman, get to work. What am I doing? Be a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So if I am studying the scriptures, if I have all this knowledge, but I'm not a workman, what am I left with? A Pharisee, a scribe. They knew the scriptures, but they didn't have the heart. They knew the scriptures. I'm a Pharisee. I'm a doctor of the law. That's the wise shall inherit glory. Taking the knowledge and working for the glory of God, that is going to inherit glory. Anything other than that, if I'm sitting here and have all this knowledge, study to show thyself approved. Be the smartest. That inherits shame. That's going to be a shameful promotion for me to know all the word of God and not do something with it. Matthew chapter 7. So that's Bezalel and Aholiab. Matthew chapter 7. Verse number 24. I want to inherit glory like my Savior wants me to inherit glory. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which buildeth his house upon a rock. We are built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. That's Ephesians 2. So I am built on the word of God, the apostles and the prophets, the word that they spoke, Jesus Christ himself being the most important prophet, the most important apostle of all. I am built. Our lives need to be built. This church needs to be built on that. And it is. On the word of God, the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. 1 Corinthians 10:4 says, that rock that followed them in the wilderness and all of Israel drank of that spiritual drink, that rock was Christ. Amen. That rock is Jesus Christ that this church needs to be built on. Jesus Christ and his word. That's it. Amen. That's all I have. Amen. That's all we got. Jesus Christ and his word. And also, if you're not saved here this morning, God is the rock of our salvation. Amen. The rock of our salvation. So if you don't know Jesus Christ, there is no other rock besides him. It's not Peter. It's Jesus Christ. And further on in the book of Matthew, Peter got that, Jesus, thou art the Christ. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, upon this rock, the fact that Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Son of God, that's the rock that I'm going to build my church upon, and the gates of hell aren't going to prevail against it. So, again, I just need to be rooted, grounded, built on the Lord Jesus Christ, like this house. That's wisdom. Verse number 25, and the rain descended, And the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. Shame shall be the promotion of fools, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Now, Jesus is talking about the house of Israel. He was not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So that's who he's talking about literally. But we, this church, the church of God, is the house of God. The house is the church of the living God, it says in 1 Timothy chapter 3. The pillar and ground of the truth. And houses rise and houses fall. I need this church not to fall. I need this place.
Amen.
I would be nowhere without this book.
Amen.
But this church faithfully teaches this book as it is. Unadulterated, no fluff, no nothing. I need you.
Amen.
You are the church. This is just the house. I need you not to fall. Great was the fall of that house who, what does he say? Those who hear my sayings and do them not. Hear my sayings and do them not. But a wise man is someone who hears the sayings. I hear, hearken, I'm here all the time. I read every day. I hear the word of God on a constant, consistent basis. And that's how it should be. And if you don't know the scriptures, that's how it needs to be. But a wise man hears and does. He's not deceived like James chapter 1. Someone who's deceived is someone who's a hearer but not a doer. That man is deceived. That's a foolish house. A foolish house. And we are a house as well. We're the temple of the living God, ourselves individually. I don't want to fall. I don't want to fall. I want this church not to fall. What does it require here according to the Lord Jesus Christ? That I hear what God says. Right? I do err. I'm in great error not knowing the scriptures. So it's the knowledge, the hearing, the knowledge, and doing it. Taking due use of all that's here and getting it into my heart instead and doing something with it. For the glory of God, for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a wise man. And the wise shall inherit glory, but shame is going to be the promotion of fools forever and ever and ever. And I want to inherit glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is high and lifted up. He's glorified. And he shows his mercy, his kindness, his generosity, that he would call me a Mephibosheth. Come be glorified and sit at my table. How dare I not want that for myself?
Amen.
How dare I not want? How dare I be saved and not further the gospel? How dare there be anybody out there who's preaching the gospel and not me? How dare there be people in this church who take the knowledge and go be a blessing? We're only here to be ministers of the gospel and ministers of the church. It's very, very simple. It's very, very simple. Minister to the lost, minister to the church. How? Through the knowledge of God and a wise heart. The wise shall inherit glory. But shame
Amen.
Shall be the promotion of fools.
Amen.
That's it.